And a pleasant good morning to you on this Sunday morning. My name is Keith Greer, and I'm the local minister at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. At the end of our broadcast, you will be given our service times for our regular meeting times at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any of all these services. You will always be warmly received. Today, we want to continue our study of the Book of Revelation and examining the seven churches of Asia. This morning, we want to continue that study by looking at the church at Thyatira. This can be found in Revelation chapter 2, verse 18 through 29, and we will read those verses at this time. And to the angel of the church at Thyatira write, "These things says the Son of God, who has eyes like the flame of fire, his feet like fine brass. I know your works, your love, your service, your faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her, great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. And I will give to each of you according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many that do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put no other burden, but hold fast to that which you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels. And I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Let us begin by looking at some facts about the city of Thyatira. Thyatira was located about 35 to 40 miles southeast of Pergamos, the location of the third church we looked at a couple of weeks ago. Thyatira was a wealthy city situated on the river Lycus. The city was noted for its manufacture of purple dye and dyed garments. You may recall that Lydia, Paul's first convert in Philippi, was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira in Acts 16, 11-15. Thyatira had many temples built for idolatry worship. The chief of them was Apollo, in whose name games were initiated. Thyatira also was a trade center noted for its powerful guilds, much like our labor unions today. If a Christian wanted to get ahead financially, he was almost of necessity to be a member of one of these trade guilds. The downside of these guilds were connected with idolatry. It was not uncommon for the meetings in these guilds to include the eating of meat sacrificed to idols and the manner of debauchery to honor their gods, to be engaged in after these meetings. If one belonged to a trade guild, it was assumed he worshipped the god of that guild. This posed a great problem for the faithful Christians in Thyatira. We begin this letter by looking at Christ's self-definition and his description. Notice Christ never debated the fact of his deity or his divinity. Says the Son of God, who has eyes like fire, flame of fire, and his feet like brass. His eyes were piercing. It witnessed all that men did. We read this truth in Hebrews 4, verse 13. He saw in this city made him have righteous indignation at the immorality and corruption within its borders. His feet were like fine brass and implied strength and power. He has to carry out his threats against those who refuse to repent and to turn from evil. As he begins, he gives words of commendation. He begins by telling them that he knows their works. We know that God knows all things, even before we ask him, Matthew 6 and verse 8. Nothing has changed. He still knows our every move. He knows their love. Their motive was correct. Service follows this as well as it should. It must be the motive for all the things that we do. This must always prompt true obedience is the love that we have for God. All knowledge, good works mean nothing if they're not connected with love. Read 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1-3. He understood their service, brethren serving God and their fellow man. These folks were not sitting on their hands waiting for the other guy, busy in the Lord's work, active, diligent, and concerned, as rightfully we should be, according to Matthew 5, verse 16. What we do in our service unto the Lord says much about our commitment unto Him. He knew their faith. Faith is a must, according to Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Without it, no one can serve God. These brethren had based their faith on the evidence, as well as we all must, according to Romans 10, verse 17. Faithfulness and fidelity spoke very highly about these brethren. They were to be commended, and rightfully so. He also knew their patience. This quality is needed for all who desire to be partakers of the divine nature, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 through 6. Another word for this word is perseverance. God's faithful children don't go down without a fight. They keep on keeping on, as the saying goes. Faith and patience have been linked before. Read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32 through 39. When all is said, the height of patience depends on the depth of one's faith. And, he says, the last are more than the first. These brethren were making progress. Unlike the church in Ephesus, they had forgotten the first works. The spiritual growth is a must for any church. According to 2 Peter 3, verse 18, we must grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We must move forward. That's what Paul commanded the church of Corinth to do in 1 Corinthians 15:58. That's what he said he himself was doing, pressing toward the mark of the high calling of Christ in Philippians 3, verse 14. The longer a local church exists, the greater their work should become. Often the opposite is true, I'm afraid. So many times after a church gets a building, becomes self-supporting, has a little money for cash flow, the members begin to slack off, losing some of the original fervency. Please understand, this is a warning for any of God's people to not fall prey or trap to this problem. But he also has words of condemnation. You allowed Jezebel to teach and beguile my servants. In the first century, men and some women were imparted with spiritual gifts through the laying on of the apostles' hands, as we can see in Acts chapter 8, verse 14 through 18. Four daughters of Philip were daughters of prophecy, Acts 21, verse 8 and 9. This existed during the days of the infant church while the New Testament scriptures were in process of being revealed. Upon the completion of the scriptures, the gifts ceased, according to the teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 through 10, and that's another story for another day. Some claim to have these spiritual gifts, but they were liars, according to Jesus. Some claim to be apostles, and they were proven to be false, according to Revelation 2, verse 2. And in Thyatira, there was a woman who claimed to be a prophetess. The Lord had another name for her. He called her Jezebel. This name was probably applied symbolically in order to illustrate her wickedness, like the Jezebel of the Old Testament in 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 29 through 34. Jezebel became a synonym for evil. She brought Baal worship into the land among God's people. Jezebel is so wicked that her name has become a personification of evil, even in our day and time. This woman was leading God's children to commit vile sins, of sexual immorality, of eating things sacrificed to idols, such things God would not tolerate, the opposite of what righteous conduct God demanded of His children. Yet the Lord gave her time to repent. He was long-suffering. He gave her time to change. Unfortunately, she did not. Like the one of old, she refused the pleading of the Lord and would not. This example illustrates the deceitfulness of sin and the hardening qualities and capabilities that sin have if it goes unchecked. Read Hebrews 3:13. He gives a warning. He will cast you into a sickbed. God does not make idle threats, ladies and gentlemen. This is so-called prophetess and her followers would be cast into a sickbed of great tribulation. Repentance is the only thing which can save them from this fate. In view of the second death that we'll read about in Revelation 21, verse 8, this is man's only alternative to sin, to repent and to cease. This is a strong lesson to the dire consequences which befall an individual or a congregation which tolerates false teaching or simple conduct in any degree. The sinner must not be tolerated. Why? He can lead others to fall into the sin with him. Read Proverbs 4, verse 14 and 15. The Lord's church is His house. The Lord demands a clean house. Scriptural discipline will aid us in to maintain the purity of the church. the exhortation to the faithful. As many that do not have this doctrine. Contrary to popular belief, we need not learn the deep things of Satan. Rather, we need to learn the deep things of God. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. He will allow us not to be overburdened, according to Matthew 11, 28 through 30, with all our abilities and our faithfulness to hold according to His will. Hold fast till I come. Steadfastness in adversity is a must. It was then, it is now, it will always be so. He gave consolation to the faithful, that He would overcome, the ones that would endure, the ones that would persevere. Again, the promise is made to those who overcome. What does it mean, power over nations, to rule with a rod of iron? While this book is symbolic in nature, let us never forget that faithful Christians, even while in the flesh, are able to reign in a symbolic way in life, through Jesus Christ, according to Romans 5, verse 17. We are given power, even now, to resist the devil, James 4, 7. To influence others for good, Matthew 5, 16. To overcome evil with good, Romans 12, verse 21. To live for Christ, Philippians 1, 20 and 21. To win souls for Christ, 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. And to know that He is always there and will never forsake us, Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. He will give him the morning star. Jesus is the bright and morning star in this letter, Revelation 22, verse 16. Hence, this is probably an allusion to every spiritual blessing that we enjoy in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Also, the morning star heralds the arrival of a new day. The ones who overcome will begin a new day. Wonderful promises which the Lord will surely deliver on. He delivers on His promises just like He does on His threats. And He concludes this letter with, "Him who has an ear, let him hear." We should hear in the sense of giving heed and will to the obedience and the things that He calls upon them to do. It is up to man to determine whether or not they will accept His gracious invitation. The church at Thyatira had many difficult issues that faced them. Yet God, in His infinite wisdom and mercy, gave them a recipe how they could withstand the onslaught and how they could overcome the teachings of the false prophetess Jezebel, and how they could overcome the difficulties of idolatry and eating meat sacrificed to idols and committing sexual immorality. Make no mistake about it, dear listener, God does not tolerate sin under any circumstance. It makes no difference where we live, it makes no difference the pressures that we are faced with, and it makes no difference in what the majority may be doing around us. God's people are distinctive. They are a peculiar people, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, and that doesn't mean odd. That means that we march to the beat of a different drum. We have a different focus. We have a different purpose in living, and we are looking for a different goal than many in this life are looking for. The church at Thyatira, she was struggling, but she was progressing. She was making some good strides, yet she had some things she needed to correct. And God gave her time to repent, just like He gave the false prophetess Jezebel to repent. When she failed to repent, God was going to punish her, and the tribulation and the punishment would be severe. So will be for every sinner who fails to acknowledge their sin and to turn around and to walk and to follow the Lord of heaven. We encourage you to not be like the majority of the world. Submit to God, resist the devil, follow Him, and we will be one who will overcome. See you again next Lord's Day.